The following Big Breakfast contains Marto, Robin and Nick Cody.
Today on the show, it's a long way out for the NRL season, but the Broncos have already been rolled by the South Sydney Bunnies.
Thank goodness I'm here, because Married at First Sight has started, and I introduced you fellas to a bloke with a serious problem.
And surfing legend and now beer baron Mick Fanning joins us for all things Bolter, his award-winning beer.
7 weeks to go until the NRL season kicks off for 2019. I'll tell you what, the Courier-Mail had jumped the gun a little bit. Wayne Bennett has already scored his first points win over Anthony Seibold. You've been talking about this morning, Dobbo. What have you got?
Well, obviously, it's an interesting take on this, that the Brisbane Broncos, who have won the membership race
forever.
Last year they won it, 2017 they won it, 2016 they won it. Currently they are second, South Sydney leading by Brisbane, 27,298 to 25,000. Okay, so they've made it. You're right, it's in the Courier Mail. So I thought,
hold on, members are, I got to pay money for this.
You got to pay money. It's
not tickets,
no, it's dead set. It's $100 or maybe more a person. They get a season ticket and everything like that. It's a really good thing considering that Brisbane have been the leaders, and I believe they will be. So I rang Wayne this morning. I said, Wayne, are you aware that South Sydney are currently leading? He goes, I have no idea. He said, but
coaches don't care about
it. In the next sentence, his exact words were, but Dobbo, I cut 141 bales of hay at the farm on the weekend.
Wow.
I mean.
How many did the Broncos do?
Has he still got his farm out near Warwick?
Yeah, of course.
So
that's what he said. He said, I was up on the weekend, we cut 141 bales of hay. I then said to him, mate, do you care about this? He goes, oh, it's good. But he said, Brisbane will probably end up winning. They're predominantly the strongest club. I rang the Broncos. They're not one bit worried. Obviously, last year's drama.
Is the Broncos figure down or the Bunnies figure up?
No, the Broncos figure is down at the moment. I watched Anthony Seibold coach that side yesterday at training. What Brisbane are doing at the moment, I think South Sydney are happy with their coach and Brisbane are really happy. Brisbane are on the way up. I spoke to Andrew McCulloch. He just said it is unbelievable to change. They're so happy it's not funny. They are.
Why?
So far, because they're fitter, they're stronger, they've had a different approach. There's no two ways about it. Brisbane were unfit last year.
Have you spoken to any of the Broncos? What do they think of the coaching staff?
I spoke to Andrew McCulloch yesterday, had a long chat. I spoke... Unbelievably happy.
Different voice. They don't have listened to a bloke going.
What he's done is he treats them like men. He had an 8 minute clock on the field and they were doing pressure sets.
Oh,
and
good.
The first 8 minutes of a start, he said, right, this is the start of a match. So they set up like that. This is the 8 minutes before halftime, 8 minutes after halftime. And he absolutely flogged them. They are going to be super fit, the Broncos, this year. I like it. I think it's a whole different approach. The music, they had the beatbox going the whole time.
Wayne never let that, did he?
Unbelievable. They're training at the Brisbane Broncos instead of all these random fields. It's a new look, very professional outfit. Watch this space.
Beatbox. I thought you were going to say the Beach Boys coming. I was like, that's inspiring.
Fire up, lads.
Everything's sport this evening on the Rush Hour. It's flying as well, Dobbo. Plenty of big guests as well. 6 o'clock if you haven't heard it. That's wonderful stuff. Big Breakfast on Triple M.
Kind of a fan of The Jungle Show, but without a shadow of a doubt, my most favourite reality television show year in, year out is Married at First Sight. Oh. They call it a scientific experiment.
I know this one, yeah.
Yeah, right, where couples who've never met get married. They meet at
scientific.
The altar. Yeah, they say it is this kind of cultural experiment that we all go on this journey with these people. The fact that there is really after, I think it's 8 seasons,
Is it the show where there's 24 of one sex and one of the other?
No, that's The Bachelor. Come on, you know better than that.
Is it the same number?
Don't pretend,
it's an even playing field.
Don't pretend that you haven't watched this. Davina was on it last year. You got really cranky about her. You'll get back into it. Just stay with me.
No, Kath got me to series link it last night so she can watch it while
it's great.
Folding
it's
the washing.
I'm not
Is that to make
it.
Folding the washing seem exciting?
I think you might be right.
Look, don't judge till I've got through this, okay?
Did anyone get married last night?
Yes, two people.
All right.
The whole show started with us being introduced to some of the couples.
Oh,
and this is how it started at 7:30 last night.
The modern dating world is like swiping through your rubbish bin. You just see everyone you dated previously.
Yeah.
It's a dumpster fire.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Is she talking about Tinder or something?
Yeah, they're setting the bar high, but don't think it's just rubbish. The women are unique. Listen to this.
Because of my appearance, women come into the, oh, yeah, he's just in it for some fun, but I'm ready. I don't want to play around and waste my time anymore.
Yeah, mate, well,
I've got to know, what's his appearance?
What does
just
look
no
like?
Pants on?
One head?
No pants on.
The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Okay, no, it's the opposite. He's a good-looking fella. Oh, okay, he's right. Saying because
I look so good.
I'm so in love with myself that women just want to have a bit of fun.
Oh, what a shame.
Oh.
Okay, but
really, I'm crying already.
Yeah. Let me. So we've set the premise as to what we're in for, but it really is about the couples, and we did have two weddings last night.
I don't know this bit. How do they pick each other?
The experts pick them and put them together based
there's
on
some
them.
Psychologists or something.
That's right. Remember? Yeah, there's three, two women and a bloke.
Dicky looking bloke.
So,
that's the one.
So we had two weddings. Gotcha. One of a cricketer called Cam, professional cricketer, and a guy, don't ask me his last name, and Sean, who is massive about cricket, had no idea who he was.
Not Bancroft.
No, it's not Cameron Bancroft.
It's not Cameron Bancroft.
He must be good because he's doing this in summer.
Yeah. In the middle of the season.
So, Jules married Cam, and they seemed to be really smitten with each other, and we were left with believing that they had possibly slept together on the first night.
Straight into it.
Yep.
Did Cam have a red stain there on his pants? No. Like, was he a bowler or a batsman?
He wasn't wearing white pants. Okay. Anyway, the other one was Cyrell and Nick, and the fireworks started early with Cyrell's very protective brother, Ivan. So we knew that this was going to be an interesting couple to watch.
Family wedding, was it?
Robin, I've got to ask, is Cyrell a name of someone from overseas or just a bogan name? You know what I mean? You never know with
well,
these names.
They're Filipino family. So they're in the wedding, they're in the car going to the ceremony, and Cyrell is sitting there in her dress with her bouquet, and her brother chips in.
You couldn't find yourself like to meet someone, get to know them instead of doing this?
I've done that. You can't say I haven't because the amount of times you turn around.
Yeah, but I don't think you've tried hard enough.
I have.
No, you haven't. See, this is at the stage where I say you're still young. You don't know what you want in your life. And this whole experiment, it's going to fail.
Whoa. Robin, you said not bogan, yet.
I didn't.
You don't know what you're doing.
What a wise man Ivan was.
Oh, there'll be so much more of him as time goes on. But I guess the one thing that most people will talk about, well, certainly was the thing that slightly broke my heart, was young Nick. He's 29. Okay.
So he was the one marrying Cyrell?
No. Nick is a completely different unit.
Come on.
But we met him because he met with all the other blokes, and it became quite obvious that Nick didn't have a lot of experience, and that was brought to the table with
financial planning.
Matt, I know you haven't had many relationships. I just sort of got the vibe that maybe you haven't gone there with someone before. Have you?
No.
Sorry, his name is Matt. How bad's that? I was so busy feeling sorry for him. 29-year-old Matt.
Oh, have you outed the wrong 29-year-old virgin?
No, he's 29-year-old Matt. Yeah. It was just so awkward. It was
John,
so
how good
sad.
Was that pump-up music for his very low-energy response? Dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun. But no, what sort of mongrel bugger of a bloke in front of a whole lot of other blokes says that?
That's exactly what blokes would do.
Is it?
That's what we always do. Oh.
What, you'd out someone for being a virgin at 29 in front of a whole lot of other blokes? You would not.
Oh, God, yeah.
Why?
That's what the world's all about.
It's hilarious.
Offer him advice.
Shameful.
Laughing, Nick.
Shameful lack of sex, Matt.
Oh, come on. But we haven't worked out if he's like a special unit or like.
Oh, you watched us.
Oh, this show is going to be worthwhile. Sort of special unit? Whether he's got two?
I don't know.
Oh, well, what are we talking about?
Okay, 7:30 tonight on Channel 9. Oh. We can all watch and learn.
I'm going to have to check it out.
I'll wait.
Big breakfast. Triple M.
Okay, some exciting news overnight, particularly for Marto because he loves this guy. We're talking Mick Fanning and his beer.
A Southeast Queensland beer has been named the best craft brew in the country. Currumbin-based Bolter's XPA taking out the number one spot in the nationwide competition.
Let's congratulate him personally. Mick Fanning, the owner of Bolter. How are you, mate?
Yeah, great. And yourself?
Yeah, super duper.
Hey, how are you feeling this morning? A few Bolters last night?
No, I'm actually pretty good. I actually went away for the weekend, so I didn't join in the festivities down the brewery. But, I think a lot of the team have sore heads. It's all good.
Mick, how often do you get out there? I think if anyone hasn't been there, they're out the back of Currumbin, like in the industrial estate, just in a really unassuming place. But you go in there, and sometimes the boys there, Mick and Parco and Curry and B Durbidge, how often do you turn up there?
It all depends. It depends when I'm home and, I'm not there every day. we like to go down, and if we got friends in town, love to show them the brewery and show them what the team's done. But, we'll probably be in there like once a month or so. Probably any more than that, the team will get sick of us and kick us out.
So Mick, why is it so good? Why are you the number one craft beer?
We're just lucky that we've got great brewers and great staff, really. When we're selecting beers and making beers, we do listen to the people and see what they're liking. But, our head brewer, Scotty, is just a genius when it comes to beer making. People just like beer, so it's great.
Hey, Mick, we were talking earlier on the show, and I suggested that the only reason this brewery got up was because B Durbidge did his pelvis at Burley one day. Is that the true story? Would you still have started it? It was just that he couldn't surf anymore, and you said, well, this is the time to start the brewery. Is that right?
No. It was pretty funny. We were actually on our way to Hawaii, and, We stopped in, we're flying together, and he just pulled me aside and goes, how would you like to start a brewery? I was like, okay. And,
and a few then, airport beers and, before the flight.
Yeah. And then we got, Josh was already on board, and then when we saw Parker, we hit him up, and it was pretty much born from there. And so the four of us, had a little round table chat and figured out, who would be the best people to help us get it off the ground. And then that was in the end of 2015, I think. And here we are today.
Well, it's Bolter. So if you've never downed one, seriously, this weekend, go and grab it. Marto and I have known it for a while, but now officially Bolter, the best beer in Australia. Mick Fanning, a surfing champion. Great. We'll catch up with you again soon.
Awesome. Cheers, guys. Thanks for the support.
Want to run something by everybody. I know the government announced that they were going to do it last year, but it starts this week, and it starts in our home ground of home state of Queensland. It starts around Bundaberg, okay? Mm-hmm. Everyone know about Bundaberg?
Yep. Yep.
There's a lot of people on the dole in Bundaberg, okay? And they are now starting the cashless welfare system. So instead of getting your, if anyone doesn't know, the dole is $250 a week for a single person. All right, you're happy with that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, no one is, but 500. So they get $500 a fortnight. Not a lot of money.
No, it's not.
Okay, so what they're saying is, and it's the first time they've trialled it, the only other time they've trialled this has been in Indigenous communities where they're going, we cannot give people access to cash because they spend it on alcohol and gambling and drugs, etc. So they're going, we're going to try this in Bundaberg, and it's going to start with about 100 people who are on welfare in Bundaberg, and I think it's absolutely brilliant. 80% of their money, 80% of their $250, okay,
mm-hmm.
each week is going to be embargoed. You can't get any cash. It doesn't go into your ATM. It's on a card, and you can buy food, you can buy drink, as in water or milk or anything, food and groceries, and pay any bills, whether they're power bills or your rent, etc., gets paid off this card.
Mm. Cigarettes? Can you buy cigarettes?
Interesting. Maybe at a supermarket.
So 20% of it is discretionary, and you can spend that on going to the pub or to
the
pokies or whatever.
You get about $200 a month, okay, will be put into your ATM account.
And then
okay,
you can
but
go
the
off
other 80% per month, which is $800. So you get $1,000 a month, $800 you have to put on this card. Okay, can only in the card. You don't have access to it to give your drug dealer, $20 for a foil or whatever you do, whatever they do it all. Or you can't go and put money on the pokies, take $30 out.
Why do
put
we
it
have to do that to everyone?
Because
why can't
no one can. Oh, to everyone, yeah.
Why can't we do it to the people that are clearly gambling their money away, not being able to constantly take care of their children? Like, there are a lot of people who are
on. Why do they need cash?
Well, because if you're not doing the wrong thing, why are you penalised on what you spend it on?
Why do they need cash? Tell me.
Because they then
keep some money. They've lost heaps of money gambling, and the only way to get it back is you get more cash and not stop until you're victorious.
I know.
I just think for those people that do the right thing and are on welfare for a whole bunch of reasons, you know, none of which we know, and they're doing their thing and they're living
why
their life.
Why do they need cash?
Because they have earned the right to be a functioning member of society.
No, they haven't earned the right because they're not paying any tax. And I'll tell you, I'll throw this one out there. And all right, 133353, what do you reckon? If you don't pay tax, if you're on welfare, you don't vote.
Oh, bang. What do you reckon?
You do not vote. You do not get to vote. 133353. I'll shut it down right now. I'll let everyone else in. I've had enough.
Shut it down, but we're opening it up.
What do you reckon? He's just gagging us.
If you're on welfare.
He doesn't want us to talk to him anymore.
No, but you can't tell me why you need cash.
Veterans are on cards and stuff, welfare. What do they have they lost the right? What about people on maternity leave? What about someone who's lost their job and is trying to find another one?
Okay, people on maternity leave, if they
don't get to vote, that's my baby brain.
If they're married to a taxpayer, they get to vote. If they're not, if they're just out there having children after bang after bang after bang, they don't get to vote.
It's very nice of you to let my wife vote.
All right. Oh, okay. That's I didn't think of that. And your wife can vote too, Nick, because she
thank you very much
because you work with him.
But quite simply, what is government? Government is a taxpayer cooperative. Given some idiots, unfortunately, lead this, but that is government is us who pay tax. If you don't pay tax, you don't get to vote and decide our future. There were people last night whinging about it, going, "Oh, why should
we?" What about pensioners? Haven't they earned the right over 50 years of being employed to be able to?
Like a politician will design something if they've paid tax in their life, yes, they can vote. I'm sorry. It's dole bludgers who I'm up.
Sure.
They cannot vote.
Okay, let's see.
What do you reckon?
Yep, you put it out there. Let's go to the phones. Chris of Parkinson, what do you reckon?
I'm with Marno, 100%. He should be Prime Minister.
Oh.
I reckon they should also be drug tested before they can get the dole.
Great call.
Whatever
happened to that? That was an idea at some stage. Where did that go?
Shouldn't be getting cash money. 20% is fine. Obviously, you'd have to make allowances for pensions, but yeah, 100%, no easy rides anymore.
Should they be able to vote and decide the future direction of Australia?
No, shouldn't be allowed to vote. Maybe make exceptions for pensions, but definitely why should they have a say?
Because we live in a democracy and one of the great rights of this country is the right to vote.
No. If I'm paying all the money and you and Nick and Brenda and everyone else and Chris there, if they're paying the money for the way we shape our future of Australia, you don't belong if you're just on the train. If you're a passenger on the train, okay, you don't get to tell us where we're stopping.
How well's it work for America, do you reckon?
I thought he was going to say if you're on the train, you don't get to vote either. That's it.
If you're
I don't like where Marto's going with this. Put him on a train. Marto.
Oh, sorry.
Let's go to Kerry of Camp Hill. Hello, Kerry. What do you reckon?
I'm a foster carer and I have given up work to look after kids that are in my care.
Oh.
So do I not deserve the right to vote?
Oh, here, Kerry.
I think Marto's come off the rails.
No, I don't know. Will you get your $200 per child? I don't know how many you've got, but do you get your $200 a week per child? No, you're earning your money. You're not getting it for free for doing nothing. Yeah, no, you can vote.
So thank you.
That's okay.
I think Marto's any more questions?
Kerry.
Marto, I don't like having a job. Fair enough, mate. You can vote. Don't worry about it.
Right, we've been talking all day about the be careful of the speed zone, 7 till 9 and 2 till 4 the Sarvo.
Yes.
They're red hot, so be warned, please be careful. But right now, Robin, she's all over. They're all dropped off and ready to go, aren't they?
No. Tea and tissues will be happening for the little preppies.
Actually, anyone who's just dropped off at school, can you tell us the funniest thing? What have you seen? Have you seen a mum? Because it's the kids want to go into school, don't they?
It depends on the age of the child. The primary school
mums are
ones,
hanging on to the kids. Yeah. Don't leave me. Yeah. I did see once,
this was a couple of years ago, a mum who tried to kiss her high school age child goodbye and he wouldn't do it. So she parked the car in the middle of the road, ran running after him going, "Dougal, give me a kiss.
Give me a kiss.
Well, that's just funny. When I was in high school, maybe, I think it was first day of year 11, we used to catch the school bus. It's picked some friends up from a stop. We've gotten about 100 metres down the road and all of a sudden the bus driver has slammed the brakes on, honking the horn. It is absolutely hectic. All the kids are scared. He's like, "We don't know what's going on." The door of the bus opens and my friend's mum gets on and says, "Hey, mate, you forgot your lunch." And it's the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen. Because my friend said, don't worry about it, Mum, just who cares? And we're like, Mrs. Novak, his name was Nick Novak, Mrs. Novak, come down the bus. Give him the last more up the back, and we made her walk down the bus. Oh. I've never been.
You do know, though, that that is our revenge. Like, you know, we get our small primary school age children who are completely devoted to us, and they want to kiss us and hug us and tell us about your day. And then when they hit high school, they start grunting and they stink and they don't want to have anything to do with us. So then it's kind of like, what can we do in this moment?
The question is...
Yes.
Why do you want anything to do with them if they grunt and they stink?
Because just we remember the little boy that once was.
All right. I had a friend that used to tuck her dress into her undies and pretend that she'd done it accidentally and just walk around. Oh, look at Tom's mum. Oh,
excellent.
No. That's what she wanted.
That is genius. Yeah.
The big breakfast on Triple M.
Oh, you'll all be stoked to know Tinder have done their own research and come up with, they've looked at all the beaches in Australia and seen where is the most successful to swipe right and pick up.
Mm.
And Queensland Beach is one.
Yes.
Mm.
What? Queensland Beach or
yeah,
or
well, is number Beach. One. I mean, Queensland's done very well in the whole top 10, I might add. but we have taken out the number one spot.
We've got the horniest beach. Is that
we've
how
got the horniest beach where action actually happens. People
any,
meet up.
Any Tasmanian beaches make it there? Or not a real hot spot?
Not a real hot spot.
Any Northern Territory beaches?
Yes, one.
Oh, what?
Mindil?
Mindil
Beach on Darwin.
Oh, that's the main one,
Yeah, that's in at number seven.
I didn't think you could even swim there. Because of Crocs.
Well,
I guess if you can't swim, you're going to figure some swimming.
Apart number from 10, swimmers. St Kilda. Number 9, Merriweather Beach in Newcastle.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's nothing else to do
there.
That's
true.
Number 8, Manly.
Manly
Beach.
In Sydney?
Mm-hmm.
Geez, I would have thought that would be the hottest of hot.
Why?
Oh, it's so popular with singles. Manly down in Sydney, yeah.
Well, clearly not as much as
hard
surface.
Hard to get North Shore, though.
Yeah. What do you mean surface?
And the weather is so cold. The water is so cold at Manly. Mm. Like, it's so cold.
Shrinkage.
Oh, badly. Mm. Number 6, how do I know that? Yeah. Cottesloe Beach in WA. Number 5, Noosa. Yep. Number 4, Cronulla. Mm. Number 3, Bondi. Mm. Number 2, Main Beach at Byron. And the number 1 place to pick up.
Main Beach at Byron's too.
On Tinder. Is surface.
Surface paradise.
Yeah,
man.
Goldie.
Is it on the sand or in the nightclub? Like
No. They're saying new Tinder analysis of the nation's swiping action has confirmed Surface Paradise as the hottest beach for singles in the country. The epicenter of swipe right action on the dating app.
That's
for sure.
That's towers.
It's also,
that's sitting in the tower going, I wouldn't mind one.
Let me guess. I reckon it could be anywhere upwards of 95% personal trainers are making up Tinder on the Goldie, I reckon.
Reckon.
A lot of PTs. Just shredded units getting out there, getting amongst it.
A lot of bikey action there, too.
Yeah, it says, it turns out that Surfers Paradise, they are doing more than just swimming and sunbaking, with it being the top spot for getting a solid match.
What about, is there a spike in Schoolies Week?
Well, see, they're not going for into that sort of detail.
Yeah, see, that's I know what's going on.
Really? You sure?
And that's why I don't go to Surfers Paradise, ever.
Why? Too scared of picking up.
Yeah.
They'll be all over you.
I love the idea of disruptors in the universe and planet, except when it comes to banks. This one makes me slightly uncomfortable. It's brand new, it's aimed at the under 30s, and it's all online.
Purely digital, no branches. By the end of the year, Vault will offer savings and transaction accounts, term deposits, personal and home loans.
Okay, so why is it better and different from, say, the four big banks that we've all banked with and our parents and our grandparents?
Interest rates lower?
Well, have a listen.
Vault says it's the experience. Open an account in 60 seconds with your identity verified. Vault promises to transfer your accounts and direct debits from other banks for you. And if you want to keep those accounts, well, it'll allow you to see them within Vault's app. It promises discounts with 20,000 retailers and says it'll show you where to make savings on things such as electricity.
Sounds good. But Oh, come on. Doesn't that make you slightly nervous?
Yeah, if it's too good to be true. If it sounds too good to be true,
sounds
it normally
great.
Is. Yeah, it does sound.
It sounds like a bank, but with no branches. So it's a bank without the boring bit. You know what I mean? It's just all on your phone.
Well, and we should say, for people who want to look it up for themselves, it's VOLT.
Oh, okay.
Not as in
vault.
The bank vault.
When did it start?
Well, it was they started to talk about it a couple of weeks ago. But the one person I wanted to chat to about it is Ross Greenwood, because he's Channel 9's money man and he knows all this stuff and we don't. Hey, Ross.
She was being a really old-fashioned person when it came to your bank. I thought you'd be a very modern and hip and wizard person.
Well, it makes me nervous, to be honest, that something that they would be able to, if the going gets tough, you'd still be able to get their money. I don't know why we are so conservative when it comes to our banking, but well, that is my first thought.
I'll ask another question. When was the last time you went into a bank branch?
Oh, gosh. A million years ago.
Last week for me, Ross. I'm at Bank of Queensland. They're real people.
That's right. See, that's how they promote themselves. But, you know, if you're like me, you haven't been in a bank branch. Well, in my case, I don't think I've been in a bank branch for 18 months, maybe.
God.
I don't need to go there anymore. So even if I'm with one of the big banks, you don't actually see anybody. You don't know anybody. And so as a result, where's your loyalty to your big existing bank? You probably shouldn't have one. You should be probably trying to do the right thing by yourself. So what's happening is that there's a whole bunch of new upstarts coming along. Now, if you bank with, I don't know, ING, say, for example, the likelihood is that you never have ever been into an ING branch. But as I say, with most of the big banks these days, it's exactly the same thing. The one thing about Vault getting a full banking licence in Australia is that as a result of having done that, any deposits up to $250,000 now in Vault are guaranteed by the taxpayer. So in other words, in the event of a bank collapsing in Australia, if it's an authorised deposit-taking institution, which is the official term, well, what happens is the taxpayer, the government, makes good $250,000 worth of deposits. So that's where perhaps your confidence comes from for putting your money into that organisation, into that particular bank, which is the reason why they've fought so hard to go out and get a full banking licence. And, of course, the one thing what we know is that the banks will generally only respond to competition, because if you're loyal and you sit tight with your bank, chances are that you won't be rewarded. In fact, you'll probably end up paying more in your mortgage, more on your credit cards than what you would have had you shopped it around.
Are they scared? Are the four big banks getting worried about this?
No, because really something like Vault is really so small. It's tiny in the whole scheme of things. But then have a little think about something else. These things tend to grow, and when they start to grow, they do grow rather quickly. So think about Aldi in supermarkets, just how quickly that became the third big brand in supermarkets in Australia. What'd that take, 10 years?
So it'll be the youngies jumping in, Ross, that'll drive this growth.
Oh, 100%. But you think about something like Afterpay and how quickly Afterpay has grown. So effectively, a lot of people now are throwing away their credit cards, going to debit cards, and they're using Afterpay as a service to be able to, buy now and pay on the drip over a period of time. Now, sure, some people are concerned about, the people who are getting that credit, but the fact of the matter is, the technology, these new things, can change people's behaviour. And that's exactly what Vault is trying to do by providing a different banking service, something that the big banks currently don't provide and which they think is going to be appealing to many people.
Would you recommend that? Get Afterpay instead of a credit card?
If you could control it. Now, if you're already in terrible debt stripe yourself, then it would be the worst thing for you to be doing, because it's simply easy credit that you really probably can't afford and you'll end up paying their big fees. But remember that they make their money two ways. Number one, people who don't pay on time, they get slugged a fee. And the other way they get paid, and the way that they now want to get paid more, is through the retailer. So in other words, the retailer plays a clip to Afterpay to basically get them on. But I think Afterpay is a pretty good idea. If you know you can pay for those goods, you know you can pay for them on the drip, you're not completely out of control, so you don't have 50 pieces of, bits of shopping on Afterpay, on which some people do, to be honest. Now, if you control it and you're under control with the whole thing, then of course it's a reasonable thing. It's a bit like a credit card. A credit card's a good thing if you know you can pay that credit card off each and every month. It's a great deal. Right. The problem is there's lots of people who don't do that.
Yes, control. So Afterpay is not for us.
I'm still on Dolomite.
Ross Greenwood, Channel 9's Money Man. Thanks so much for your time. It's the Big Breakfast on Triple M.
It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show.
Triple M.